नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 2 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 24 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srijami Tapasa Eva Idam Grasami Tapasa Punaha Bibharami Tapasa Vishvam Viryam Me Duscharam Tapaha Srijami Tapasai Vedam Grasami Tapasa Punaha Bibharami tapasa vishvam Viryam me duscharam tapaha Srijami tapasai vedam Grasami tapasa punaha Bibharami tapasa vishvam Viryam me duscharam tapaha Srijami tapasai vedam Grasami tapasa punaha Bibharami tapasa vishvam Viryam me duscharam tapaha Srijami tapasai vedam Grasami tapasa punaha Bibharami tapasa vishvam Viryam me duscharam tapaha Srijami tapasai vedam Grasami tapasa punaha Bibharami tapasa vishvam Viryam me tapasaram tapaha Srijami I create tapasa by the same energy of penance Eva certainly Idam, this, Grasami, Tapasa, I do withdraw also by the same energy, Punaha, again, Bibharami, do maintain, Tapasa, by penance. Vishvam, the cosmos, Viryam, potency, may, my, duscharam, severe, tapaha, penance. Translation of the verse. I, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, speaking to Brahma, I create this cosmos by such penance, I maintain it by the same energy, and I withdraw it all by the same energy. Therefore, the potential power is penance alone. Purport, in executing penance, one must be determined to return home back to Godhead and must decide to undergo all types of tribulations for that end. Even for material prosperity, name and fame, one has to undergo severe types of penance. Otherwise, no one can become an important figure in this material world. Why then are there severe types of penance for the perfection of devotional service? An easygoing life and attainment of perfection in transcendental realization cannot go together. The Lord is more clever than any living entity, therefore he wants to see how painstaking the devotee is in devotional service. The order is received from the Lord, either directly or through the bona fide spiritual master, and to execute that order, however painstaking, is the severe type of penance. One who follows the principle rigidly is sure to achieve success in attaining the Lord's mercy. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shachiputramatra Sarupam Rupam Tasya Grajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tandatosri Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavansya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shivashakhan Vitamsa Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, having instructed Brahma to perform penance, tapasya, in order to go on with his function of creation, it states here that he also does this penance. Actually, the words austerity and penance are not exactly the same, although in Srila Prabhupada's usage they're used interchangeably. Austerity means to usually voluntarily, can be involuntarily also, to, well, especially in a religious context, it means to voluntarily accept difficulty. And for a higher end, penance is similar, but it specifically means to do austerity for the sake of requiting one's previously committed sins. So they're similar. Now, the Supreme Personality of Godhead here states that I create this cosmos by penance. I withdraw it by penance. I maintain it by penance. What does that mean? That he has to go and get some power from somewhere else. Otherwise, he doesn't have power. No. Viryam me duscharam tapaha. That tapasya. That is the... the means to obtain power for people in this world. They tap into, one can tap into Krishna's powers by performing austerity. One can do so for good purposes, the best purpose, or the only really meaningful purpose is for becoming purified from material contamination and becoming Krishna conscious. It can also be used for bad purpose. Well, it can be used for but anything else is bad, and there are degrees of badness. It can be used for elevation to the higher planets, and it can be used for very bad purposes also. And the exemplars of that are Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, who tapped into the energy, the latent energy which is all over the universe, for the sake of utilizing that for their own nefarious plans. So Krishna himself comes as Narayan Rishi, Nara Narayana, to show the path of austerities for the benefit of others. They don't need to. For that matter, Krishna doesn't need to do anything at all. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. He doesn't have to do anything. But parasya shaktiya vividhaiva shuyate. Still he has multiple varied energies, swabhaviki, which are natural to him. He doesn't have to do anything to get these energies. Bala, swabhaviki, jnana, bala, kriyacha. So knowledge, he has all knowledge, he has all strength and activity. So he's here encouraging Brahma that you can get power for doing what you need to do by doing penance. You see, even I do it. even I do it. And this way I get power. Although actually it's inherent in him. It's something like Krishna. He uses the word grasami, which means, in this context, means he withdraws the cosmos into himself. That also means to eat. So Krishna eats. Although he doesn't need to eat, he doesn't become weak if he doesn't eat. But he does so anyway, as his lila. He's fully sufficient in himself. So we find throughout the Shastra, especially, that the importance of tapasya, and we find it again and again here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tapo divyam putraka yena sabdam shudhyat yasmad brahma sokyam tvanantam is a famous instruction of Rishabdev to his sons to perform penance so that they can achieve the happiness on the spiritual platform. Unlimited, eternal happiness on the spiritual platform. There. Dhruva Maharaj performed austerities. The Prachetas, sons of Maharaj Prachina Barhushat, 10,000 years in the water. They were just ordered by their father to produce progeny, and then to get the power to do that, to produce good progeny, they went and did austerities for 10,000 years in the water. So they didn't. They thought, how do you make children? Well, you interact with a wife. But they understood it's more than just interacting with a wife. It's a very responsible task, and therefore they performed austerity before doing so that they could bring forth children of good consciousness, not just some cats and dogs in the form of human beings. They came up from the lower species and they're just briefly popped up and they're going down again. That kind of child will not be born to, generally speaking, will not be born to those who perform austerities for the sake of purification. It's not stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, but it is stated in the Mahabharata that Krishna and Rukmini underwent austerities before producing children. So again and again we find that in the Bhagavatam and in other shastras, not in all cases. We don't hear of Prahlad Maharaj performing austerities. We don't hear of... who else was I going to say? It was in my mind and popped out. But anyway, there... Oh, yeah. Bali Maharaj... actually, it is stated there in the... as far as I remember, in the Vamana Purana. But it's not emphasized. The power, what is being discussed in this verse by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the power of tapasya. as Srila Prabhupada points out in this purport, to become an important person, even materially, requires tapasya, requires accepting some difficulty. Even to be important in this world is a difficulty, because then you have to deal with so many people. And so the rishis, they perform austerity. They go away from the world to avoid the material difficulties. But people who want to be materially prominent, then they have to accept the stress and the pressure of being in the limelight all the time. To be important and to be peaceful, to have a peaceful life, the two things don't go together, usually. No, not at all. One may be internally peaceful, but one doesn't become important by doing nothing. One becomes important by doing important things. Nahi suptasya, singhasya, pravishanti mukhe mrigam. The lion is the famed for being the king of the jungle, the most powerful animal, but even he has to do something to get his food, not just by sleeping and lying down, that the animal will enter into his mouth. I am going to read from Manu Sanghita some texts about tapasya, voluntarily accepted austerity. Well, the first thing, before introducing this section, Manu, in the 11th chapter of his Sanghita, says that an intelligent person should ponder on the fact that one has to enjoy or suffer, actually it's all suffering, the effects of pious and impious activities in the next world. So let him be engaged with his body and his full consciousness in doing pious deeds. That's the first resolve one should make. Smaran nityam anittatvam anityatva kuru punya horatra. Considering that everything in this world is temporary, one should perform pious activities day and night. So that should be the first resolve. Otherwise, if one undertakes austerity with a different resolve, let me be bad, then the result will be bad for himself and for others. Manu will speak about the consequence. Austerity as penance, becoming freed from the effects of misdeeds. That first of all, one should try to avoid misdeeds, but one should try to become free from them by the effects of them by performing austerities. And after doing some austerity, if one does not feel still satisfied in his mind that I did such a wrong activity, then he should continue to do so until he feels satisfied, till he feels the burden of that guilt is lifted from him. Now, in devotional service, we have a different understanding altogether. It's not a calculated activity that let me perform some austerity and then I'll get so much result. Tapasa brahmacharyena shamena cha damena cha. Srila Prabhupada often quoted this to emphasize that it is required to perform austerities, beginning with brahmacharya, which is often translated as celibacy, although it means a lot more than just celibacy. Just like dharma is often translated as religion, but it means a lot more than the English concept of, or the concept that comes with the English word religion. But actually this statement from the sixth canto of Bhagavatam is actually stating that these things, although definitely better than just being like an animal in human form and not accepting any purificatory processes, they are not in and of themselves enough to award the highest goal of life. For that one has to be fully surrendered to Krishna. Tapasatata kim. How does that verse begin? Aradito yadi haris tapasatata kim. Naradito yadi haris tapasatata kim. If one doesn't worship Krishna, what's the use of performing on any austerities? And if one is worshiping Krishna, what's the use of performing any austerities? Because if we don't worship Krishna, then all our austerities, it's like offering ghee into ashes. It's ridiculous. It doesn't have the effect that is the effect of giving us any true benefit. And on the other hand, if we are engaged in worshipping Krishna, then what is the need of performing any other austerities? This is two rhetorical questions asked by Narad Muni. But that doesn't mean that there's no austerity whatsoever, because the point is that devotional service in and of itself is the austerity. And there are austerities to be performed. One has to take some difficulty in performing devotional service. So Manu continues that tapasya is the root of all happiness which is found in heaven or in earth. It must be there for any material happiness or even beyond. Tapasya, if we accept that the most basic understanding of tapasya is denying ourselves what we would like on the material platform. The most basic understanding of tapasya in Krishna consciousness is denying what we would like on the material platform and acting only for Krishna's pleasure. Then that in itself is pure devotional service. And when it becomes more mature, then we don't have any desires to do anything for our own personal pleasure. But even then there are difficulties. It's not that there won't be difficulty, because that's the very nature of this material world. Just like we see that Srila Prabhupada went through so many difficulties to come to the West and to spread Krishna consciousness. And even before that, he went through so many difficulties in India for publishing his books and his Back to Godhead magazine. Some disciples of Srila Prabhupada and others, they protest that, why do you say Prabhupada went through so many difficulties? He's a pure devotee, he's always in bliss. And they criticize the descriptions like that. But even Srila Prabhupada himself stated about his own Guru Maharaj that he went through so many austerities, he went through so many difficulties to establish this Krishna conscious movement. So if we say that Srila Prabhupada didn't go through any difficulty, it was just some kind of show, then that also takes away from his glory. That he did struggle for Krishna. It wasn't that he was just an actor on a stage pretending that he was struggling. But there was a sense of difficulty. Sometimes even Srila Prabhupada showed a sense of being discouraged. And then again he'd get up and go on fighting for Krishna. So, to please Krishna, one also has to accept difficulties. Srila Prabhupada writes here, an easygoing life and attainment of perfection in transcendental realization cannot go together. Easygoing, no one has an easygoing life in the modern day. There may be a few people who are rich, they don't have to work. It may be that they're from some farmer family, and their land at the edge of the city has become worth crores of rupees, so they're able to sell it off a little bit at a time and live comfortably without doing any work. So there may be a few people like that, but even then, they're not happy. No one's happy. Yesterday, I met a group of mostly ladies, middle-aged ladies, mostly from Salem. They came to see me, and I said, in the course of discussing, I said to them, just look, in Salem City, no one's happy. And it was like, oh, great revelation. Yeah, it's true, no one's happy. You go around and you see, no one looks happy, everyone looks miserable. But it's the same everywhere. So why not accept a little difficulty for serving Krishna? And then we'll become happy. Just like we might think, well, let me sleep in the morning. That's more comfortable. But then we miss the bliss of rising early and attending Mangal Arati and chanting our rounds early in the morning. And we miss the bliss and we don't get spiritual strength. So it may be difficult. But when we get accustomed to that, then we don't want to do anything else. We don't want to sleep all the morning like that. So in the beginning it might be difficult, but gradually it becomes such that we find it very easy. Not only easy, but we want to do it. But then again, what happens is that Krishna arranges more tests, and there's no end to it. There'll be more and more tests. And then that's more and more opportunity to surrender to Krishna. Even for devotees, even chanting our rounds may be an austerity. Just that I know myself, when I joined in those days, we didn't have any idea of a gradual, okay, first of all, you chant one round, then you, after some time, chant two rounds. Want to be a devotee? Okay, 16 rounds. I thought, that must be very difficult. How can I chant 16 times 108? Wow, how can I do it? Then I looked around, saw all these young men and women around my age, a little older, they're all doing it. So I guess I can do it too. They came probably from very similar backgrounds to myself. If they can do it, I can do it. But maybe difficult to control the mind. Anyone ever had that problem? controlling the mind with China. Again, from that group of ladies, one of them asked me, oh, my mind is always wondering, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, what to do? And everyone who asked that, they seem to think that they're the only one who ever asked it. Probably everyone who is taken to devotional service by Srila Prabhupada's mercy all over the world asked this question at some point. And the answer is, keep on going, keep on trying. That's an austerity. Can be an austerity. In the beginning we're enjoying, just hear the holy name. But it's not just like a machine that, or some kind of meditation, just like in meditation you can, in yoga meditation, in the dark you can meditate staring at the light of a candle. Or if you're a Zen Buddhist, you can meditate on the sound of one hand clapping. Designed to drive you crazy. But it's not that, you hear, but it's also, what are we doing? We're praying, Krishna, energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. So it's a prayerful, prayerful hearing in a prayerful mood for service. And then naturally thoughts of service may arise in the course of doing that. But then it's not that we just let the mind wander even into so many things I have to do for service. You may think of something. What I do, I just write it down, write a note. Okay, I've got to do this. And then, otherwise, you can make a whole plan, but then, in the head, but that's not recommended. And then, what else? Sitting in front of Tulsi, chanting, Prabhupada recommends that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, in the narration of the prostitute who was purified by Haridas Thakur, she would sit in front of Tulsi and chant. Nam, Gun, Rup, Lila, all these, the qualities of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, that's described by Jiva Goswami, that by chanting and chanting, gradually these will, remembrance of this will arise in our mind. So it's this austerity of chanting. We go on chanting, we have very good prospect ahead. So accept that austerity. There are so many other austerities. Following these four regulated principles, that's enough, Srila Prabhupada said, in the modern age. That's a major reason why people don't like to join this movement. Many people, if we have Rath Yatra and so many festivals, people like to come. But not many people like to take it very seriously. The prospect of not drinking tea or coffee is very off-putting to most people. They couldn't seriously consider it. Let alone the austerity of actually thinking about the purpose of life and actually having to think at a level more than eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That's also an austerity to actually go beyond being some kind of robot who just acts in a completely mundane way. Once we understand that we're an eternal spiritual being, and then the responsibility that comes with that, that's an austerity. I already have enough austerity just working to maintain my family. So to hear this philosophy, it's also an austerity, which is maybe one reason why many people, they don't like to listen to this philosophy. They like to listen to stories about different pastimes of Krishna. Well, that's also nice, but what we need to hear about how we require to be purified from our mundane contamination. We have to hear how this material world is full of suffering. It's maybe an austerity to hear this and take it seriously, especially if we hear the same thing over and over again. We hear, "You are not the body." Well, I heard that 25 years ago when I first joined the movement. Could we move on now? Gets boring, doesn't it? But do we still need to hear it? I took my driving test 25 years ago. Yeah, but you still drive on the wrong side of the road. So we have to tell you. Or you're not attentive while driving. We have to tell you, be attentive. It's very dangerous. Well, I never had an accident. There are many people who never had an accident. There are probably there must be thousands and thousands of people who never had an accident, but the next day they have an accident. Everyone up to the point they don't have an accident, they didn't have an accident. So they might say, "Well, I'm not driving very attentively. I never had an accident." But then you're more likely to have an accident if we're not careful. So we need to be reminded of the same things over and over again. And it's an austerity. It's an austerity to have a guru to tell you, "Don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that." You just want to be free and do whatever you like. But it's an austerity accepted for the sake of spiritual advancement, for our ultimate benefit. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignyasu shreya uttamam. Having understood that everything in this world is miserable, even in the heavenly planets, one should surrender to a guru and inquire about the highest benefit. And not just inquire but about the highest benefit, but how to act in a manner that we can attain the highest benefit. And we have to be prepared to accept what is told to us. So, getting back to Manu. Manu says that knowledge is the tapasya of a brahmana. So in other words, study. He has to go on studying. That's also one kind of austerity. Now, by his nature, he likes that. But his sincere searching for the highest knowledge, that is also a kind of austerity. It's not, again, he doesn't become lax. He has to continue doing that throughout his life. In this regard, I will just tell a small anecdote which I heard from Basu Ghosh Prabhu, my godbrother. He told me, at one point, he went for darshan of one elderly Madhva Sampradaya sannyasi who was well known for teaching Nyaya Sudha, one of the most important works, or actually the main work taught in the Madhva Sampradaya. So he was famous as a teacher, and throughout his life he had had many distinguished pupils. And Basu Ghosh Prabhu went to see him, and what was he doing? He was studying Nyaya Sudha. He was already the highly recognized professor of the subject, but he was studying it. Not thinking, "Well, now I know everything, so leave it all behind." For a kshatriya, the tapasya is protecting the subjects. He has to be prepared to die even for that. So, sukhina kshatriya parata labante yudham idrisham. Again, he likes it. He likes the opportunity to fight, not like a ruffian in the street, but for the sake of dharma. He likes to have the opportunity to do that. But still, it's an austerity. Agriculture, trade, and cattle protection form the tapasya of a Vaishya. And definitely, in any kind of work in this world, there are difficulties to be accepted. Just like you were doing the tapasya of building this temple, the funds have to be collected. It is tapasya. Going out in the heat, working day after day in the hot sun. You got some respite in the last few days, thanks to the rain. But then again, you have another kind. Then you have the mud and then the dust that comes from the stone cutting. Tapasya has to be accepted to do anything. And for a Shudra, he just has to do what he's told and work hard. So the following Varnashram Dharma is also a kind, it involves tapasya, just doing that. That's the first tapasya that one has to do. Then others may be done, but first of all that has to be done. That's, we find in Ram Leela that Lord Ram killed a Shudra who was engaged in tapasya. Because that's not his dharma. He was upsetting the he was upsetting the world order by doing that, paradharma, by doing dharma which was not meant for him. Similarly, it's said for women that their dharma is to serve their husband. And anything they do, any tapasya or vratas, they have to take permission because from their husband. Because the first they have to follow their basic duties. Not that they say, well, I couldn't cook today because I'm doing some austerity. You can't do that. They're not allowed. This is important to consider also in devotional service. Just like I've heard from children who are grown up now that, well, my parents didn't, they didn't really look after me much when I was a child. They were too busy preaching. Well, first you look after your children, and when their needs are taken care of, then we can think of preaching. Well, preaching is most important. In the meantime, the children, they don't get trained. First preaching, they don't get loved. So the first preaching is the parents, their first duty is to their children. And then over and above that, Manu speaks about the rishis who perform severe austerities by living on fruit. Some live on fruit and roots, some live on fruit and roots and air and nothing else. That's what the rishis do in the forest. There's no opportunity for cooking big feasts. So their food and their living, it's all very austere, the life in the forest. But by doing that, they're able to acquire the mystic powers by which they can see everything in the universe and so many other things. All kinds of knowledge, and Manu, he mentions him, medical knowledge as one, knowledge of residence in the higher planets, and knowledge ultimately of Brahma, Brahmagyan, spiritual knowledge. That is attained through austerity. Not through austerity alone, one also has to study, but especially spiritual knowledge, one cannot acquire if one is dissolute and doesn't follow any proper standards of behavior. That's why yama niyama, first of all, in any yoga system, there has to be moral principles and control of the senses. That's the first austerity. Otherwise, we're like animals. The animal can only be controlled by a stick. Some animals can't be controlled at all. But voluntarily, we have to accept self-control under the order of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So Manu says that all kinds of things that seem impossible, everything can be attained by performing austerity. Of course, there are limits to that. You can't become God, as some people think. But within the scope of the jiva, everything is possible by tapasya. And of course, all kinds of sins can be removed. Of course, again, we find in the Bhagavatam that the seed of desire for sin cannot be fully removed simply by doing austerity. Only kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana akhandun vanti katsneena niharamiva bhaskara. Only by pure devotional service to Krishna can all the wrong desires be uprooted from the heart with no possibility of them reviving again. But within devotional service, there are austerities to be accepted, just like you're going out for book distribution. It's not easy. There may be physical difficulties, mental difficulties, but if the books are to be distributed, that has to be accepted. In one letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote to Prabha Vishnu Das Brahmachari, who took out, he'd written to Srila Prabhupada that he was taking out a party of brahmacharis traveling throughout Britain and Ireland. And Prabhupada wrote a long letter back to him expressing his great pleasure and saying, I understand that you must be accepting so many difficulties to do this. That often in that country it's very cold, there may not be any proper arrangement for sleeping or eating, but Srila Prabhupada wrote that you're doing it very happily. And Srila Prabhupada wrote that one day of performing this traveling sankirtan, distributing, and Prabhupada gave some suggestions. You can distribute books, and then you can go to the colleges and meet the students, preach to them. Srila Prabhupada said, one day of this, Prabhupada wrote, I know it's very difficult in so many ways, but one day of this is worth more than thousands of years of austerity, surpasses more than thousands of years of austerities of the yogis. So in Kali Yuga especially, it's very difficult to perform severe austerities. Srila Prabhupada has kindly made it easy for us, relatively easy. But at the same time, while making it easy, 64 rounds, can't. 32 rounds, can't. Okay, no less than 16 rounds. So Srila Prabhupada make it relatively easy. In the beginning, when he was starting this movement in the Western countries, Srila Prabhupada gave very little rules and regulations, but gradually he increased more and more and pushed his disciples. Work hard. And once Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who Srila Prabhupada was pushing to perform so many difficult services here in India, and he would have to go to, he would send him out to the municipality office, to lawyers' offices, and dealing with so many difficult people, government officials, and so many, day after day after day. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to Srila Prabhupada that I find it very difficult to think of Krishna in the midst of all this. I'm just thinking about, even when I'm chanting my rounds, I'm thinking of meeting some lawyer and this and that. But Srila Prabhupada didn't say, oh, okay, you take a break, go to Vrindavan. There was nowhere to go in Vrindavan. I mean, there was Krishna Balaram temple was under construction. That was another great austerity, so many to construct that temple in so many ways, so many difficulties were taken. But as a result of undertaking those austerities, the temples in Bombay have been built, the temples in Vrindavan have been built, and now devotees can go there and more peacefully they can sit and chant Hare Krishna. They don't have to go through the same kind of difficulties that Tamal Krishna Maharaj underwent, and Gurudas Prabhu and his wife underwent, and Tejas Prabhu underwent, and Surabhi Swami, and Gurarnava, and so many. They underwent so many difficulties to build those temples. But then we find that there, maybe if we can go to Vrindavan, we can take a meal in the MVT restaurant, and it's a very nice, comfortable arrangements. Actually, the MVT restaurant was, and the MVT complex was built much later. That was Abhiram Prabhu's brainchild, as far as I know. But they may not get as much mercy from Krishna as they're relaxed, taking prasad peacefully, go to the temple, have darshan, chant. They may not get as much mercy from Krishna as Tamal Krishna Maharaj got from going to the lawyers every day and others living in Juhu before the temple was built. If you say it was a slum, then the slum would seem like a palace compared to what the conditions they were living in. No one, except maybe the most desperate refugee, would live in such conditions. They did so voluntarily. And Prabhupada didn't say, no, yeah, you all go away. They all said, let's go away. We'd probably stay. He pushed them to do that. And he got so much mercy. Everyone who's chanting now, the benefit that they're getting, that also accrues to all those who took the trouble to make those facilities. So, while there are difficulties, and we should accept them, why, Srila Prabhupada writes here, in executing penance, one must be determined to return home back to Godhead and must decide to undergo all types of tribulations. In other words, if we are going to serve Krishna in a way that's pleasing, most pleasing to him, we are going to have to accept difficulties. And one should be determined to go back to Godhead. One should know these difficulties are here. Oh, then I avoid. Let me avoid it. The difficulties will be there. We have to accept that, knowing that our aim is to go to Krishna. Krishna is testing. Krishna wants to... that comes up a little later in the purport. Yeah, even for material prosperity, name and fame, one has to undergo severe types of penance. An example I've many times given in this regard. I heard many years ago, maybe even before I was initiated, that one devotee from Germany said that one day they saw, it's all snow, heavy snow, very cold, very difficult, and they thought, well, maybe today we won't go out for book distribution, we'll just stay behind and do some extra reading. It's really bad conditions out there. But then they heard the sound of drilling. The men were working on the road to repair the road. And then they thought, well, if they're going out and working on the road so they can get money for drinking beer or whatever, let's go out. They're doing it for Maya, we shall do it for Krishna. But then, Srila Prabhupada writes, one has to undertake so much difficulty to become an important figure in this material world, or even to live in this material world. Why then are there severe types of penance for the perfection of devotional service? An easygoing life and attainment of perfection in transcendental realization cannot go together. That's the kind of quote, there are hundreds of them throughout Srila Prabhupada's books that should be put on the wall. Everyone can look and see it. Again and again. The Lord is more clever than the living entity. In other words, if one thinks, yeah, let me live very comfortably and peacefully, do a little chanting, but Krishna knows. We can't fool Krishna. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes, he, Krishna, wants to see how painstaking the devotee is in devotional service. Hanuman is a great devotee. What's he doing? He's chanting the name of Ram. But he didn't become known as the greatest devotee of Lord Ram by chanting the name of Ram. Chanting the name of Ram is first class. There are so many devotees chanting the name of Ram, but Hanuman became famous for burning Lanka. For all his services, which he completely surrendered and fully gave himself to Lord Rama. He could have just sat in the jungle and ate some bananas. But he didn't. He took all kinds of difficulties for the service of Lord Rama. Therefore, he's famous as a great devotee. And he is, not that he's looking for fame, but his whole point is that he just wants to do whatever is required for the service of Lord Rama. And the Lord performs his pastimes in this material world. It's the world of difficulty. So those who are going to serve him in this world, they can expect all kinds of difficulties. The order is received from the Lord, either directly or through the bona fide spiritual master. And to execute that order, however painstaking, is the severe type of penance. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada gave very difficult instructions to some of his disciples. Go and preach in Russia. Go and preach in China. No one could go to China. It wasn't possible to get a visa. I believe in the American passport, there was written, visas not allowed. It still says in the American passport, as far as I know. It says, no, you're not allowed to go to North Korea. There may be one or two other countries. So China was one of them. You're not allowed to go. And there's no way China was going to give any visa anyway. Prabhupada told Tamal Krishnaraj, go to China. Later on, when he took that order very seriously, he did a lot of research on China and this and that. And then he's still ready to go, but he just presented to Prabhupada that this is the situation. Prabhupada said, then it's, you leave it. You concentrate on something which is going to be more fruitful. But he kept that order in mind, and after Srila Prabhupada's departure, he pioneered preaching in China, and the situation changed there also so that it's possible to do so. But the point is that Srila Prabhupada told those devotees, go and do that. Go and accept that difficulty. He didn't tell them go and accept the difficulty, but it was inherent in the service. If you're going to do that service, you're going to have to accept so many difficulties. And Srila Prabhupada, he just took it as natural that he didn't say, well, I'm sorry, I'm giving you something. He just, you go there and preach. Of course, people are suffering. They're forgotten Krishna. We have to uplift them. What do we have to do? We have to do so many things. We have to build temples. We have to distribute books. We have to say things to people that they don't like to hear. We may not be very popular. We have to do it. We have to accept it. Srila Prabhupada just took it as normal, just to accept. Yeah, that's what you do. We're preaching Krishna consciousness. We have to accept various difficulties. That's all. But then as Srila Prabhupada finishes this purport saying that to execute that order, however painstaking, is the severe type of penance. One who follows the principle rigidly is sure to achieve success in attaining the Lord's mercy. So that's it. We're looking for the mercy of Krishna. So here we have the clue how to get it. Be prepared to serve Krishna in all kinds of ways, accept the difficulties that come, go on with that, and one is sure to achieve success in attaining the Lord's mercy. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment about this, please?
This practice of austerity should result in purification of body, mind, heart. But we also see sometimes that this practice of austerity, we hear that the heart
can become hard by performing austerity.
How is that? Yeah.
Not if it's done with a motive to please Krishna. Then the heart will become soft. But if there's any other motive, that I will become famous for doing this, recognized, or if we think I will make advancement by my own prowess, that's an anti-devotional sentiment. There is austerity in devotional service, just like following Kartik Vrata, Chaturmasya, of which Kartik Vrata is part of that. But it should always be remembered that the principle is the same always. Krishnarte kila cheshta. Everything we do actually is Krishnarte akila cheshta, because it's in Bengali. And in Sanskrit, it's taken from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Tadarte kila cheshta. Tad, here referring to Krishna. So it's the same principle. If we have any other motive than pleasing Krishna, then the austerity won't purify. That's the first thing to understand. Everything for Krishna. Then purification will come. And then we have to see, is Krishna actually going to be pleased by that? Does Krishna want me to eat only 200 grams of food every day throughout the whole of Chaturmasya and become so weak that I can't distribute books or I can't perform other services? Or does he want me to, is it better to take sufficient prasad and go and distribute books? What does Krishna want? That we have to see. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Can you also say that it is also an austerity to present, say when there are some questions, or presenting the philosophy straightforward? Some people they don't want to give a...
People don't want to hear, and it's a kind of austerity to speak in a way that people won't like us, or the risk is there of not liking. We won't get praised, we may get blamed by others. That's also a kind of austerity. Speaking what people need to hear rather than what they want to hear. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyavacha patitanam patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.